Dr. Varbo, welcome back to the show. How are you today?
It's good to be here. Thanks so much, Lisa.
She is the chief veterinary officer for the North American veterinary community. What percentage of the people that you see among your clients do you know? I mean, I know you're doing clinicals and front office is doing front office stuff, but do you have any idea how many people use pet insurance among the clients you see?
Well, you know, it's really interesting because they say it's about 4% of pet owners that have pet insurance.
Oh, that's not much at all.
No. And you know, what's hard is with exotic pets, it's even lower because, to my knowledge, there's still only one or maybe two companies that will cover some exotic pets. So it's still pretty darn low in the U.S. Very, very low.
Rover came out, and you know, I'm not sure where I stand on them, but they said that pet care has reached 32,000 for a life of a cat and 35,000 for a dog. Mm-hmm. And I call BS because I've had plenty of those animals, and at no point has a dog cost me $35,000, and I've had to replace a hip before. So that seems excessive, right?
It does seem excessive. You know, when you said those numbers, the one thing I'll say is don't forget there are other things built in there besides veterinary care.
Right.
Veterinary care is really only a small piece of that. They say it's somewhere around about a quarter of that is what you spend at the vet over, you know, 10, 12, hopefully even longer years. But a big part of that could be things like food, leashes, training, other care, grooming appointments. So we do spend a lot of money on our pets when we think about it in the grand scheme of things. But, and remember, that's an average, too. You know,
right.
Some dogs are really healthy and, you know, especially a small, healthy dog, I'd have a hard time thinking that you were spending that much money over the course of a small pet's life. But now, small dogs live longer.
Right.
I think there's some back and forth there. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. If you have a question for Dr. Dana Varbo, just call 312-981-7200. Or, of course, you can send us a text. But some people are calling it pet poverty now. I'm sad to hear that because I don't want people not to get their dogs and cats the attention they need. But do you find that some clients come in and they're like, I need an MRI? I need a CAT scan. I mean, we do it on our own behalf. I would imagine there's probably some people out there that are very demanding about what they want for their animals. And, of course, those are tests that cost a lot of money.
A lot of money. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's so interesting because I just talked with a friend, and she had an old piece of paper from what she purchased a vet clinic. And it was her family, you know, it was a clinic that she and her family had gone to since, you know, let's say 40 plus years ago.
Yeah.
And when she purchased it, she got some old paperwork. And one of the things we were remarking on is, you know, there were some old prices and they've gone up, not as much as you might think, pretty in line with inflation. But it was this list of services they provided. And it fit on like an index card, Lisa. That was it.
Yeah.
That was all they could do. You know, and it was good stuff. It was blood work, vaccines, exams, you know, dental care, some grooming. But the scope of veterinary medicine in the last 40 years has just exploded.
Yes.
So, yeah, we can do things like MRIs and we can do ultrasounds in the clinic. You don't have to go to a specialist for that anymore. And so a lot of when we think about cost, it's not just about like how much things have gone up, because they certainly have, but it's also about the scope of what we can offer you. And, you know, I always say sometimes it's good to have a discussion about those things because not everything that we could do is good for every pet.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Family, too,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely. That's something you have to discuss with your vet. And I always take into the consideration the life left in my pet. If I have a 13-year-old mm-hmm. big dog, you know, I don't need all the testing done because, he's at the end of his life. So there's, I don't.
You know, I always say like, you know, I have, you know, for example, cats, when cats go into heart failure, there is absolutely medication we can give. But here's the deal. Some cats, giving medication, I know there's people on this call, on this listening right now who go, oh my God, no.
It's a lot.
It's like a circus performance.
Yeah.
And it's an event, and it's terrible for the people, and it's terrible for the cat. So, you know, that might not be a cat that, you know, it might be time to have a quality of life discussion. It might be time to talk about other options, because there are so many options these days, so that's always exciting. But there are some animals you're like, yeah, we're not going to get a pill in.
Oh,
in
I told you. One of my friends on her dating profile, she put, and I can give a cat a pill.
That narrows your scope of people you're going to date.
Because people aren't really going to get that. All right.
Very interesting test.
Yeah. Absolutely. Dr. Dana Varbal is the Chief Veterinary Officer for the North American Veterinary Community. We have a question, and it's not about a dog. It's rare that we get some of these questions. Now I can't find it. Oh my gosh, I think it's a guinea pig. Where did it go? The guinea pig eats fine. She just won't leave her house. What's wrong, Dr. Varbal?
Oh, that's so interesting. So guinea pigs are usually very social animals. So that really sort of worries me. If you look at guinea pigs, you know, when they're kept, typically guinea pigs like to be around two or three of their friends. Now, occasionally you'll have a guinea pig that is aggressive, believe it or not. They can be very aggressive, very territorial. So one thing I would ask is there something going on there? Do you have multiple guinea pigs and you have one that's hiding? Because he or she is getting beat up. And the other concern I would have is there something wrong medically? Because a lot of animals, cats notoriously do this, they retreat when they're not feeling well, when they're feeling vulnerable. So if they're worried, like, oh, I'm sick, I'm scared, I'm stressed, so sometimes hiding can actually indicate a medical problem. Certainly, again, yes, sometimes it's behavioral stress, anxiety, et cetera, but it worries me a little bit. It might be time to take a trip to the vet and see if there's something going on there that we need to address.
Yeah, they did just text back and say it's just one guinea pig. So, yep, take the guinea pig to the vet, right?
I think we need to go visit someone. Make sure we don't have something serious going on. Yeah.
Someone else is asking, my vet wants to wait for 3 heat cycles to spay my golden retriever puppy. She'll be almost a year and a half or more. Is that normal now? They're 9 months old, and I want to do it now.
So this is something that, you know, we just talked about things that have changed. This is something that has changed. So it used to be the common recommendation for all dogs, every single one, was to get spayed sometime between 4 and 8 months, with the average being 6. And we used to say that because we didn't want them to go into heat, because it does raise the risk of breast cancer just a little bit. What we found is science was investigating this, and they found that actually if we waited longer and we let them have those hormones, that the risk of increased mammary cancer was counteracted, because we also had a much higher risk, unfortunately, of joint disease, so osteoarthritis, and especially in golden retrievers, a higher risk of other cancers.
Mm.
So they are a breed that if you are a responsible owner and you can keep them away from any boy dogs, because we don't want any surprise puppies, but if you can keep them safe and indoors through a heat cycle, it is a breed that where we find that the risk of other cancers goes down dramatically if we spay them closer to 18 months.
Interesting.
Now, again, that may not work for your family, but it's a good piece of advice.
Right.
Yeah.
And as you know, with shelters, you know, I've been a part of Paws Chicago for a long time.
Yeah.
It's important that we spay and neuter before they leave, because people won't bring them back. And
absolutely,
then we're defeating the purpose of trying to put a stop to pet overpopulation. So all my dogs and cats have been spayed right about 4 months.
Early.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very early.
And again, in a shelter, the recommendations have not changed. I want to be clear, because Lisa, you're absolutely right. The risk of a dog getting pregnant, to be honest, it can be high. And we do not need extra puppies.
No, we don't.
There's so many puppies. So don't be worried if you have a dog that was spayed in a shelter early. Again, still the right thing to do. Absolutely.
Yeah. John's on the phone. And John, Dr. Dana Verbal gave you some advice, or you called in. Recount the story for us.
Okay, so doctor, I called about 4 months ago. My dog was diagnosed with low-level second-degree kidney disease. So we started her on the kidney-friendly diet February 1st, but then my daughter was working with a holistic vet down in Frankfurt, and they suggested the Chinese and the creatine level at the end of January was 1.8, and the bun was 44. We had her retested in August, and her creatine level was down to 1.4, and her bun was down to 20. Is that normal? Is that normal just for eating the diet, or do you think the Chinese herb is?
Well, I think they probably both did. So there is good evidence actually for both. There are definitely, herbal medicine is not my area of expertise, but I know a lot of veterinarians are doing it as adjunctive care right now. The diets also have a lot of science around them. So to be honest, I love that you're doing both. It mixes like some very traditional medicine stuff with some what we call, you know, alternative or complementary therapies. And I've heard this similar experience. A good friend of mine did exactly the same thing you are. They're having great results too. So it just goes to show you, as much as we get, as much as medicine is advancing, there's always room to try new things. There's always room to find out what else is out there. I'm so you made my day. This is great news.
There's a texture that we were talking about, the cost of pets. And this person said, Lisa, I bought a goldfish for 59 cents. I call him my $7,000 fish because he lived for 18 years. I figured I'd spent that much on the cost of fish food, water purification, filter changes, et cetera. That's funny. That's
what? 18-year-old goldfish. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Go buy a lottery ticket or four.
Yeah.
What an amazing story. That's fantastic.
And somebody else said they get pet insurance through their wife's job for about $1.50 a month, $150 a month, that is. They said they pay 20% with a $250 deductible, and it's been pretty good. They also want to know if you have any tips on introducing a puppy to a 4-year-old dog who has been spoiled with nothing but love.
Well, yeah, so two separate issues. Glad to hear you're pursuing pet insurance and that you found a plan that works for you. Everyone's a little different there. So, yeah, I always encourage everyone, read the fine print, think about all the options, but it's always great to have that as a backup. More jobs are offering it, and that is so good to hear. Introducing a puppy. Oh, my. So you've got a spoiled Sally at home, it sounds like, which, you know, is good. Sometimes I think the best introductions are ones where everybody gets spoiled. So don't, you know, it's hard because a puppy's going to require more attention, more time outside, more treats, more training. And I always say the best introductions I always see are the ones where everyone in the household, as far as pet goes, and maybe the people too, get extra attention through that introduction. An extra walk, extra time with everyone in your family. Share the love all around and, you know, take it slow. Give your adult dog some time alone because puppies are like little kids. They're on you all the time.
Oh, my God. Mine just turned one and she still doesn't stop. I'm like, oh, just stop for a minute. But it's what we love about puppies, right?
They last. You know, 18 months is, I still say that's still puppy time.
Yeah.
Until you get to two for most dogs, they're still settling in.
Oh,
and they're still
that.
Wild. And it's still so much fun, but it is a wild time.
We're having tons of questions come in. We're at the end of our segment with Dr. Dana Verbal, but next time you come on in 2 weeks, let's talk about neutering and spaying. So many people have questions about old dogs, young dogs, all that kind of stuff. In the meantime, enjoy the weekend and have fun walking your dogs.
Yeah, enjoy the weather, everyone. Talk to you soon.
Dr. Dana Verbal, Chicago's Exotic Pet Vet. Yes, there's a veterinary clinic called Chicago's Exotic Pet Vet. That's where you'll find her.